You have your Bibles? I want to read three portions of Scripture. First, in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And then we'll go to 2 Timothy 2:24. And then we'll go to 2 Kings 6. It is 10 minutes to 9. When you have Exodus 2, say, "We got it." I'm reading, please. Verse 19, "And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, Well, where is he? And why is it that you have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter." Doesn't seem like there's much there. That's because you didn't write my notes. 2 Timothy 2:24. Why don't you go to 2 Kings 6? It'll save time. I promise I'll read this right. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." That leaves out a bunch of you. It sure disqualified me. Now, I know you're all smiling, but the Bible says a servant of the Lord must not strive. So much for debate. Fussing and cussing and arguing and trying to prove your point. Trying to force people to do right. Servant of the Lord must not strive. Well, I'm not getting anywhere now. "But be gentle unto all men." Why? Because we should always hate error, but love the mistaken. Is the microphone on? Let me try it again. We should hate error, but love the mistaken. Never hate people. We are to love the truth and hate error. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Not evil people, evil. Well, boy. "Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Now, I'm going to bust your little Wisconsin theological bubble. You can't repent. God must grant it to you. You can't even believe. Oh, I'm going to ride up your alley. We're so crazy. We come up with these concepts and actually try to make God obey us. There is an emphasis here. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We have a generation that wants to repent but not acknowledge the truth. Repentance that doesn't take you to the truth will lead you to hell. Repentance is supposed to take you to the truth. And the truth is not a doctrine. The truth is a person. I heard a man say, "I am the truth. Ye shall know the truth." Now, we've developed that into a doctrine and precept and principle and say, "Well, just learn the doctrine." Honey, the doctrine ain't going to help you if you don't know the author of the doctrine. The doctrine ain't life. He's life. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, I haven't got there yet. "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." One last scripture, please, in 2 Kings chapter 6. Son of the prophet said to Elisha, "Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us Go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take hence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there, that we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, there's that word, be content. I pray thee, and go with thy servants. He said, all right, I'll go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down the wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. I want to preach the entire Bible tonight, but I'll limit my remarks to try 40 minutes. I've never done that in my life, but I'm going to try. Considering you're either going to hell or heaven, what's your hurry? Oh, hallelujah. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on it takes a miracle to recover some things. Father, bless the preaching of the Word. Help me do a good job. And I don't really care how long I take, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. 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 If you don't remember anything else I try to say tonight, remember this one statement. Expectation is always the birthplace of the miraculous. And if you don't expect nothing, don't worry. You'll get exactly what you're not expecting. If you don't expect God's wanting to walk down the aisle where your carcass is sitting and do something, you just sit right there and do your little Mount Rushmore impersonation, because God won't do nothing for you. But you got to open your mouth if you want. You got to open your mouth if you want God to do something for you. You can't sit there like a bump on the log and expect the Holy Ghost to fall on you. You gotta open your mouth. Woo! I don't mean to be rude. It's just my natural way. I'm trying to get you, because I'm a dying man preaching to dying people, and I ain't got time to play Pentecostal church. We either get serious about this thing or turn it into a bingo hall. You don't hear me yet. You ain't got no tomorrow. This is the only time you got. We think we've got tomorrow, but today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time of the Lord. We got to do business with God now. You can't wait till later to get excited. The devil's declared war on your soul. You better get excited and declare war against him. Please be seated. I try to get my mindset to help you a little bit, okay? You see, we serve a speaking God. Now, I have to do this about everywhere I go, because people just kind of have an entertainment mode. See, I look dumb, but I'm really not dumb. You see, I've been to college. I can spell the and cat and ball and if and everything. And see, when you're in college, here's what happens. This bimbo stands up here with more degrees than a thermometer, and he talks to the people out there in the audience, and they look real stoic and smart, and they just kind of go. And he assumes they're getting it. Now watch. That works good for college. This ain't a college. This is a church. Now in a church, it works a little different. The preacher tells you the truth, and you have to say amen. Because amen means it's even so.
And if I tell the truth and you don't say amen, I assume you think I'm lying. Well, let's practice, class. God is good. God is great. God is holy. God is powerful. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us. Woo! Bear with me just a minute. Bear with me. You can sit down. Bear with me just a minute. You got to get this. You see, your Father, if you have the Holy Ghost, your Father is a speaking God. Now, He's all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, but He has never and will never create, manifest, or do anything with His lips locked. You've never read a scripture where God did what some of us do. Oh no. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. God never created anything by shaking His head and wiggling His finger. 10 times in the book of Genesis it says, and God said. Because God knows when He opens His mouth, He releases divine energy that can create, that can form, that can fix. You're not hearing me. We're going to pray God heal your deafness right now. You're not hearing me. When God opens His mouth, stuff happens. Are you ready? You're made in the image of God. Open your mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will say of the Lord, He is my strength and my tower, my exceeding great reward. There is power when you get vocal. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The Bible said Jesus told us, if you need something, speak to the mountain. Don't pray about it. Talk to the problem. Jesus didn't pray over sickness. He didn't pray about devils. He spoke to the problem. You've got power of attorney. If you have the Holy Ghost, you can address the issue in faith. Speak to the pain. Speak to the debt. Speak to the discouragement. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the situation. He's given you authority in your mouth. You can sit down. I didn't mean to wake everybody up at one time. You get what I'm trying to tell you? I'm not looking for gymnastics for Jesus. That's not what I'm here for. I pastor a great church. I don't need no gymnastics. I need you to be understanding. Out of the abundance of the heart, you know why some of you are quiet? You're a quart low. You didn't hear me. The only thing that comes out of a Pentecostal's mouth should be the overflow. Abundance. He said, you believed in Him, He would be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. The job of the Philistines is to fill the wells with junk. The job of the Pentecostals is to get the debris out so the water can flow. Oh my. Oh my. Well, I'm going to try one more time, then I'm going to get to my notes. Mark 4, Jesus asleep on the boat. Everybody's scared half to death and terrified. And Jesus is sleeping in the storm. Boy, that'll preach.
You know how Jesus looks at your problems? He brings a pillow. What scares you don't upset him. They woke him up and he wiped the sleep out of his eyes, and I see him storming to the front of the boat. Carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish? I can say that with authority. I've said that to him. Don't you know what kind of mess I'm in? Now you just look somewhere else and act like you've never had those feelings. But he storms up to the boat, Brother Tamil, right to the front, just bolting up to the front. Cut it out! And there's so much power in His Word that the seas went to sleep and the wind shut down and all of nature said, that's Him, that's the boss, we recognize that voice, we better behave. You have that authority if you have the Holy Ghost. You be seated. I got a feeling I'm not going to get to the sermon. I'm going to mess with your Wisconsin cheese-wearing minds. You got to be some sick puppies to have a college graduation certificate, a high school diploma, and a 3.5-foot piece of cheese on your head. And you sit there and be held hostage by their opinion. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, oh hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. I was dead in trespasses and sin, and He awakened me. I was lost. I was walking in darkness, and grace found me. You think I'm going to sit here and be quiet because you happen to bring your high society, high brow, high educated pal sitting on his dump next to you, musing while the fire burns? Not hardly, honey. What I got, he needs. What you got, she needs. Oh yeah. You can sit down. Romans says, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. Watch this. But with the mouth confession is made. I never seen nobody that ever hummed a praise. I've seen a lot of generation of Pentecostal hummers. Supposed to be spiritual when they go, That's just a disguise because they don't know what's going on. Ain't no such thing. You can't hum a praise. You can't think a praise. You got to praise a praise. You got to open your mouth and act crazy. What kind of image are you trying to spare anyway? If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be a bunch of drunks. We'd be a bunch of criminals. We'd be a bunch of drug addicts. Some of us would be in hell already. It was the grace of God that found us. It was the mercy of God that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who are we trying to impress? Oh, hallelujah. You be seated. I'm trying to be kind, brethren. We ain't got time for us to play this little Pentecostal game. I can't get off this. I've been preaching the last few months about the greatness of God. It's a very strange subject in Pentecostal circles. We preach hairdos and dress codes and ping pong and putt-putt golf. But the greatness of God.
I've been preaching the greatness of God. It gives me an excitement headache just writing the scriptures down. Now, just bear with me a minute. I'm going to have a little fun because I'm here. It's my time. I'm having fun. God is absolutely awesome. Believe me. And the tragedy of Pentecostal apostolic people is simply this. Our concept and vision of Him is too diminished. It's not that we don't love God. We don't obey precept and principle. Don't try to walk in the Spirit and live. But I'm going to tell you, the God preached from most pulpits nowadays wouldn't impress the janitor. I mean, when I turn around and say, God is awesome. I'm fixing to have a fit right now. I'm talking about someone. Do you know what the Jews called God? Here's what they called Him. They said, God is terrible. Now, I used to read that scripture and give me a headache. Because in my concept, terrible means wicked or mean or awful. Terrible. But you see, to the Jew, see, I'm from 1950. I know I look like I'm from the 70s, but I'm from the 50s. Okay? And in the 50s, I'm from Brooklyn, okay? New York, okay? In the 50s, we didn't say something was terrible. Anybody here from the 50s? Okay, let me see if I can find you. Walking down the street, titty bopping. Here we are, 57 Chevy, two-door hardtop, 327, four on the floor, dual glass plaques, black, red and silver interior. You walk by, it's all lowered, louvered on the hood, and you walk by and you go, now that's bad. Now for those of you that aren't too spiritual, and a pair of fuzzy dice hanging on the mirror. And when he starts the car up, it goes. And you just stand and go, bad. You know, that's bad. Well, let me tell you something, honey. That's the 1950s translation of the Hebrews. God is terrible. God is some kind of bad, honey. God is some kind of bad. You're not hearing me. He's so bad, He can speak matter into existence. He's so bad, He with the breath of His nostrils, He can open the Red Sea. He can call things that are not as though they were. He can resurrect the dead. He can heal the sick. He can cast out devils. He can fix anybody's life. Now He's bad. I said He's some kind of bad. He's so bad, He ain't never met a disease. He couldn't heal. A devil, He couldn't cast out. A storm, He couldn't control. A sinner, He couldn't save. He's bad. He's so bad, He's never seen a church that He was unwilling to give real Holy Ghost revival to. Am I making sense yet? You be seated just a second. Would you answer me back when I ask you something? Just repeat after me. He's bad.
He's bad.
Said God is bad.
God is bad.
Said God is too bad to mess with.
God is too bad to mess with.
I don't care if you've been a whoremonger, a drunk, a drug addict, a prostitute, a queer, a faggot. I don't care what you've been. You walk up into the presence of God and He's so bad, He can erase everything out of your life. He can give you a brand new nature. He can give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He can put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm telling you, honey, He's some kind of bad. Can I have a few more minutes? I'm sorry, I'm on this kick. Brother Tim, he's so bad. I mean a good kind of bad. An awesome kind of bad. He is so bad. You can't let him walk through a graveyard. He'll mess it up and give a resurrection. You didn't hear me. He's so bad, he'll raise Jairus' daughter. He'll raise Lazarus with a word. He'll raise the widow of Nain's son with a word. He's so bad. If you put him in a dead situation, he'll resurrect it and give it life. Please be seated. I'm winding down now. Just bear with me. You got to hear me. He's so bad. He's so bad. He walked into the cemetery where the Bible's original streaker was living. He wear no clothes. Had a minimum of 6,000 demons in him. Called themselves Legion, for we are many. And Jesus is so bad, he walks up to 6,000 demons and just says, come out of them. And demons start plea bargaining. Oh, don't cast us out. I'm going to mess with your theology. God is so bad. I have proof in the Bible that God is so bad, he even answered the devil's prayer. Said, please don't cast us out. Put us in the pigs. And God, being so bad, said, all right, I'll answer your prayer. Go in the pigs. You're not hearing me. I don't care what's tormenting you. I don't care what's haunting you. I don't care what's trying to hold you hostage. All you need is a fresh word from Jesus. Because where the word of the King is, there is power. He's bad. He's bad. Come on, say, turn to someone, look at him, say, he's some kind of bad. Say, just look and say, he's so bad, I'm fixing to get an answer. He's so bad, he's going to heal me. He's going to give me grace. He's going to help me. He's going to encourage me. He's greater than anything I'm facing or fighting. He's so bad, he can't even be whipped. He's bad. One writer said he's terrible. Like an army with banners. So bad. So bad. He just went. And the whole Red Sea went. And you stood at attention while the little ex-slaves kind of trotted through there. So bad that when the jerks chased him and tried to catch him, he just kind of went, phew. And billions of gallons of water, he went, phew. Said, so much for your problem. Somebody needs to ask the question, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah, you got to understand something. Sit down. You're going to get wrinkled in your drawers there. Sit down a minute. Listen carefully. You got to get this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Listen to me carefully. I don't care what all these faith people do and all the name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and all that jazz. Fine. All the tapes you buy, all the seminars you go to. Fine. Do whatever you want to. Scramble your brain. Do whatever you want to. But let me tell you something. All faith flows out of those four first words. In the beginning, God. If you can believe that, you can believe God can do anything. You don't need any more scripture. If you believe in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let me explain a little this to you. First place,
oh God,
give me a little room here. I'm fixing a boogaloo in here. Just watch me. First place, you don't need nothing going for you for God to step in and fix it. I know that ruins your Pentecostal theology of trying to control everybody, but God stepped into hell, death, and darkness and chaos without anybody inviting Him and commanded a blessing. You're not hearing me. You don't need anything going for you for God to step into your chaos and your disaster and change it around. All you got to do is let God move into it. Brother Kenny said it beautifully. You don't have to be good to get God. In fact, God is drawn to nasty. Sit down. I'm just going to float. Ain't no sense me trying to preach. I got too many things going on here. My spirit's popping like popcorn right now. You got to hear me. The reason why some of you cats don't clap, don't jump, don't boogaloo, don't lie to me and say you're not emotional. Because if you won the Florida Lotto, we couldn't hold you down. If some of you cats inherited $100 million, you'd go jumping down the street in your pajamas. Yeah, you would. You gals would run down the street with your hair in rollers, wearing your bathrobe, saying, I want $1 million. I want $100 million. I want a trip to Australia. I want a trip. Honey, listen to me. You've won something more than a trip to Honolulu. You've won a trip to the New Jerusalem. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got eternal life right now. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Brother Tamil, I ain't going to get eternal life. I have eternal life. Now are ye the sons of God. Now are you. I don't care that you got areas in your life that are not perfect or mature. You're still the son of God right now. Please be seated. Give me. What time was it? I got a few minutes left. Listen carefully. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. So some kind of crud of chaos happened between Genesis 1-1, Genesis 1-2. Figure out anything you want. I think there was chaos in heaven that came down into the earth. If you don't want to believe that, fine. You come up with something better, write me a letter. Watch. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. This is what I get concerned about you cats that don't clap. Don't open your mouth. Don't ever act. Don't ever put your hands up. Listen carefully. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, you'll never get a fresh word from God until you first have a move of God. And the only way you can get a manifesting of God is to create praise and worship and an atmosphere that's conducive to the supernatural. It's not a matter of Pentecostalism. It's not a matter of emotion. It's a matter of creating a platform that pleases the Creator, that makes it easy for Him to step down and make bare His mighty arm. Ha! Oh. Oh, please be seated. Just a few minutes, okay? I'm just gonna rant and rave. You don't have to buy the tape. You don't have to worry about it. Just let me rant and rave a second. Pentecostals need some help bad. Our concepts are screwy. We got three or four pet little things we live by, and the rest of it, we're forsaking the awesomeness of God. We wouldn't have to preach against the 4,000 things we have to every year. If we could get the bimbos into the presence of God and behold how awesome He is. Now watch. God. This is so powerful. First place, I want to correct wrong theology. There is no such thing as a move of God. Don't say anything. Everybody look at Brother Tamil. Because you're going to say, do we believe that? No, that's why God's got me here. Now, I know what we're saying. It's semantics. It's words. But it's incorrect. It's incorrect. I know what we say. Whoa, my God, we had a move of God. You're Looney Tunes. God don't go nowhere. Now, you're not hearing me. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he said, shall God indeed dwell in a house? Seeing that the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. The universe does not contain God. God contains the universe. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. David tried to find God's zip code, and he looked in the past and he said, from everlasting. And he looked in the future, to everlasting. I can't find your end. I don't know where you start. Well, I'm going to throw a commercial in. That's why I think the concept of the Trinity is the height of ignorance. How can you divide a God in three equal pieces that you can't find where he stops or starts? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is indivisible. He cannot be separated. He cannot be scrutinized, nor cataloged. He is beyond us.
You got to hear me. I'm almost done. Please be seated. I'm almost done. I'm just kind of ranting and raving here. Not preaching, just kind of yelling a little. Just, you got to get it. Come on, get the concept. Ready? Get it. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. If they ever blast off and get on the other side of a black hole and put a flag on one of those asteroids or one of those planets, God will say, been waiting for you. You got to hear me. If there's any place God ain't, that's one place he's not sovereign. That's why we try to get people saved. Because the only place that he's not filling is the resistant spirit of man. I'll prove it to you. Acts 17. Paul's talking to the Athenians. They're wackos. They're idolaters. They're worshipers, but they're ignorant. But they are worshipers. And he says to these heathens and pagans, what are you making these idols for, you dopes? What are you trying to make the Godhead like four-footed beasts and flying fowl and fish in the sea? Why are you trying to make the Creator like the critter? Watch this. Even your own poet said, we are God's offspring. Boy, will that preach the king's kids. He said, your own poet said, we're the offspring of deity. Then why would you make deity like a bird or a bull or a four-footed creature or an image? Watch this. For in him we live and move and have our being. Wait a minute. He's talking to sinners. He is not talking to believers. And he was telling everybody in his congregation day at Mars Hill, you know what? You're already in God. Oh, that violated your little private theology. Oh, yes. You're sitting right in his lap right now. Watch, the heaven of heavens does not contain God. He fills all time and space. Are you in time and space? Then you're in his lap. You got to hear me. He fills this whole building.
He fills this hole. So you're in God. That, I'm trying to tell you how close you are to the supernatural and to the miraculous. You're in God now. The only difference is when you're reborn of water and spirit, then God steps inside you. See, you're inside. You're inside God now. But God wants to get inside of you so that your spirit becomes the sanctuary of the Holy One. Am I making sense? All right, now, come on, turn and look to someone and say, pardon me. Come on, just pardon me if I act kind of crazy. But I'm in God. And he might just go, you're not getting me. You're sitting right next to him. He doesn't have to come down. He doesn't have to come across. All he's got to do is manifest what's unmanifested. Now, I'm going to clear the air and then I'm going to go home. I told you before, no such thing as a move of God. I'll prove it to you. God fills all of this area, this building right here. And he fills all of that area and he fills everything here in the middle. Now, because he doesn't manifest himself, we think he's got to come somewhere. Oh, no. Everything is in him. My problem is when I move from point A to point B, I create a vacuum at point A. When God moves from point A to point B, he is at point B before he left point A. You're not hearing me. He is everywhere present and he's nowhere absent. That's why all it takes is faith in God to get a miracle, because you're in God right now. Now, Brother Campbell, I'm going to leave you in a headache so they understand. I know what we mean when we say we've had a move of God. But it's not God moved, it's God manifested himself.